Good morning to all of you. You know, I remember when I was in seminary and we had to write sermons for practice. And we found from this other class where we had to do what was called verbatims, it was almost impossible to write something that didn't include what happened to you that week, what didn't include what happened to you the day before. And your class members, as well as your professor, could hear, they could listen to what you were saying. Sometimes they could stop you and say, and then what did you do? How did you respond? How did you act? Because you're telling me from what you're saying, you are in this. I'm saying all that to tell you that there was no way I could write something this week without putting what we all experienced from Uvalde in here. I was just sharing with Ellie a few minutes ago. We weren't watching a drama. We weren't watching a play or a television program where at the end we could turn it off and say we were entertained. This is life, and we're living it. And I can't stand here before you and let you think that this didn't affect me deeply, as I know it affected each and every one of you. With my healthy little baby boy, when I dropped him off at daycare for the first day, I was that crazy parent walking around the school, peeping in the windows, making sure that he was safe. It is our job as parents, it is our job as people here of God to take care of each other and to take care of our children who can't take care of themselves. What we experience for the people in Uvalde, for the people in Buffalo, and I could go back to all of the other experiences, is sympathy. We can say, oh, I feel sorry for you. Yet as it gets closer to home, we can say, we experience empathy, because now we feel sorry for us. This affects each and every one of us. And we've got to do something. There is weeping in Rama, and there is weeping right here. Before 8:30 service started, I had to run to the back to find tissues. This is not easy. I see the parents waiting for their children to come out of that school, and I feel deeply for them. I look at these babies that just ran up here to Marsha, and I could barely stand it. But I'm grateful to Marsha as she went over the Joseph text, because that's what I would like to read for you. Hear the word of the Lord. Joseph had a dream. When he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said, "Listen to this dream I had. We were all out in the field gathering bundles of wheat. All of a sudden, my bundle stood straight up, and your bundle circled around it and bowed down to me." His brother said, "So you're going to rule us? You're going to boss us around?" And they hated him more than ever because of his dreams and the way he talked. He had another dream and told this one also to his brothers. I dreamed another dream. The sun and moon and 11 stars bowed down to me. When he told it to his father and brothers, his father reprimanded him. What's with all this dreaming? Am I and your mother and your brothers all supposed to bow down to you? Now his brothers were really jealous, but his father brooded over the whole business. His brothers had gone off to Shechem where they were pasturing their father's flocks. Israel said to Joseph, "Your brothers are with flocks in Shechem. Come, I want to send you to them." Joseph said, "I'm ready." He said, "Go and see how your brothers and the flocks are doing, and bring me back a report." He sent him off from the valley of Hebron to Shechem. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We're studying Jesus in the Old Testament. We began with Jesus in a Bible study on the road to Emmaus, where he showed Cleopas and his friend references to himself in the Old Testament. Then we learned about Melchizedek, the high priest, who had no beginning and no end, the Alpha and the Omega, like Jesus, who is our high priest, who has no beginning and no end. The following Sunday, we heard about the sacrifice of the firstborn child, Abraham, directed by God to offer his son as a sacrifice on the altar to God. But an angel stopped him. And this story is superimposed upon God sacrificing Jesus, the Son and true Lamb of God. Then last Sunday, we heard about the presence of God, God's presence in the story of Jacob's ladder with angels ascending and descending in the place where Jacob's name was changed to Israel after he wrestled with God. And as Jesus speaks to Nathanael in the New Testament, he refers to that same presence and place and says, "Nathanael too will see angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Today, we're looking at the story of Joseph, son of Jacob, and where we might find glimpses of Jesus. Let's begin with Joseph versus Jesus. I know the print may be small for some of you, but I'm going to read it. So waiting for a response. Joseph versus Jesus. The Spirit of God was in this man. Joseph or Jesus? Okay, about three or four people are here. Okay. He was an innocent man made to suffer by his own people. Joseph or Jesus? What? Okay. There was a conspiracy to have him killed. Joseph or Jesus? He was put in a pit or a grave, Joseph or Jesus? Oh, I heard a child. I love it. He was condemned and counted as dead, Joseph or Jesus? Spices, including myrrh, were brought to the pit or the grave, Joseph or Jesus? I hear Jesus. I hear Joseph. I hear, but what is it? Are some of you saying both just because somebody else is saying both? Think about it. Joseph or Jesus? See, I was able to sway some of you to really think about it. Good. Spices, including myrrh, were brought to Joseph's pit, to the grave. Because remember, the caravan of Ishmaelites carrying spices passed by where the brothers were sitting around the pit, the grave. We know Jesus. We know where the wise men brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And we also know that the women went to the gravesite looking for Jesus to put the myrrh across his body, to anoint him again. So it was both. He was sold for the price of a slave, Joseph or Jesus. He was stripped of his garment, Joseph or Jesus. You all sound very confident. Does anyone know the story where Jesus was stripped of his garment? Where? The Romans, they threw lots to see who would get his garment. They thought they were going to divide it, but Jesus's garment was one piece, a one tunic. So they threw lots to see who would get it. And we know for Joseph, that beautiful coat. He was the one people could go to for bread, Joseph or Jesus? I didn't hear it. This side of the room says both. This side of the room, nothing. This side, what are you saying? Both. Are you saying something yet? Both. See, Lawrence was in 8:30 service. That's unfair. He was the one people could go to for bread. We know Jesus is the bread of life. We would go to Jesus for this bread that would fill us, where we could become like Jesus and we could live in Jesus and Jesus in us. Joseph became the governor over all the land. And as there was a famine in the land, Joseph, through his dreams, told Pharaoh, save up the grain. And Pharaoh said, because you are so wise, I am putting you in charge of everything. So anyone who would come to Egypt for bread, for grain, had to get it from Joseph. God raised him into power and royalty. Joseph or Jesus? Lawrence, stop it. He offered repentance, forgiveness, salvation, restoration, and a new life. Joseph or Jesus? Y'all just know now the answer is both. Can we see from this how Jesus and his life is in the Old Testament, or comes from the Old Testament? Joseph's life is about Jesus. Joseph's life is a foreshadowing of what was to be fully revealed in and through Jesus. I had not seen that before I actually put it all down on paper. Did you all know that? We've read the story. We've all read the stories. But now we're looking at it with different eyes, through different lens. One writer in my findings posits that all scripture speaks of Christ. If all scripture speaks of Christ, I've got to go back. And I'm going to start in Genesis, and on every page and every word, I'm going to look for Christ. God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all in one. Yet, as we look with these new eyes, new vision, we can see God's plan from the very beginning to save us all. But what I could surmise from this is, too, if Christ is in us and we are in Christ, then we should be able to seek, search, and find ourselves in Scripture, too. It's kind of scary. Although I have said on many times, I find my life a parallel to Paul in the fact that I've lived my life so much in pain. And I would pray constantly, God, take this pain away from me. And then I latched on to Paul's prayer, where Paul would say, if you could just take this thorn from my side. Whatever that thorn meant for Paul, it could have been his own weakness in his body. His own, I was speaking with another colleague who thought perhaps it was his own abstinence. And I'll leave it at that. But still, I related to Paul for God to take this thorn away. And then he said, no, this reminds me of who I am, and that it is by God's grace that I even stand before you. Thorn in my side and all. It is through and by God's grace. So I invite you to, as you read all of those new Bibles, look for yourselves. So, and if that is true, if that is so, where do we find the part about those children, 19 children, and two adults who were slain in Uvalde? How do we weave into the text the senseless war and killing in Ukraine? It's easy for us to say that that war is happening in Ukraine. It doesn't affect us, but it does. It's easy for us to say, oh, that killing in Uvalde, that was in Uvalde. That doesn't affect us. It affected Pastor Dan so much so that he got in his car and he called me. He says, I'm heading to Uvalde. It affects us all. Then there's our own lives, with its ups and its downs, its joys and its sorrows, its good and its not so good. As we seek, are we finding it complexing to try to make sense of it all? But you know, there's got to be hope in all this. So as God reconstructed the evil plan against Joseph to save the nation of Israel, surely God can reconstruct any present day evil and save us. We are saved as a group. This body, the arm can't be saved without the other arm. The leg can't be saved without the other leg. We are saved as a body, this body of Christ, this body that we are in the world. As God transformed the evil plans against Jesus into the very blessing by which God offers eternal life to the whole world, surely God can transform any evil plans of today. Any thoughts of greed, that's the word that gets me. It haunts me. How can people be so greedy? and not see that the other people around them are suffering. Is your elevation more than my hardship, my groaning? Surely God can transform any ideations of selfish ambition and any thoughts, actions, or inactions resulting in negligence, injury, or death. I have got to believe that surely God can. If Adam was before the fall, the first human and first Christ-like figure created for God, in God's image, when will the time come when we all will be that same creation that God intended us to be? All of us Christ-like, living in peace and harmony, glorifying God all day, all night, singing, "Holy, holy, holy." We and all the saints adore. Yet we cry aloud together, "Holy God, when?" And how much longer do we wait for God's kingdom to come completely and engulf the whole world? And what's our role in making this happen? Each one of us has a role. I applaud the summa cum laudes and the magna cum laudes, but God is calling all of you cum laude with praise to lead the rest of us, because apparently we're not doing a good job. And a little child shall lead them. When? And what do we do in the meantime? In the meantime, we live like Joseph. In the meantime, we live like Jesus, with God's Spirit upon us, living, loving, hoping, trusting, praying. Not saying the first thing that comes out of your mouth, not doing things without praying first. We've got to be the people of God. It's got to start with us. It happens within these walls. We hear it, it goes into our hearts, and then we take it out into the world. If we don't sing a new song, who's gonna sing it for us? If there was victory for Joseph, if there was victory for Christ, if there is victory in Christ, then there is victory for us. I've got to believe that. We've got to believe that. Out of the old comes the new. Out of the Old Testament thrust into the New Testament, we are God's new creation. Augustine said, "The new is the old concealed, and the old is the new revealed." The new is the old concealed, and the old is in the new revealed. Jesus in the Old Testament, revealed to us in the New Testament. Seek, search, find, hope, pray, trust, victory. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.